In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I want to look at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. We start with Isaiah 42. "Thus says the Lord, here is my servant, the servant of Yahweh, whom I uphold, my chosen one, his name is Jesus, with whom I am pleased, upon whom I put my spirit, yes. He shall bring forth justice to the nations," that's not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, "not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench." I tell you, he is beautiful. That if you are the bruised reed, he will not break you. If you are a smoldering wick, he will not put you out. "Until he establishes justice on the earth," that's by faith. "The coastlands wait for his teaching," the coastlands, the Jew as well as the Gentile. "I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by my hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations." Jesus is a light for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews, "to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness." I tell you, Jesus has fulfilled all the prophetic experiences of Isaiah 42. He is the servant of Yahweh. Acts 10, verse 34. Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality." What has just happened? He preached the gospel to the Gentiles, and they start speaking in tongues and prophesying. So he says, "I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." Are you acceptable to the Lord today? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Are you acceptable to the Lord today? Are you a sinner saved by grace? Oh, yes. I tell you, I heard someone say, he was a good guy. Good guys are not in heaven. I tell you, it doesn't mean that you're a good guy and you're going to heaven, but those that have been washed with the blood of Jesus, those that Jesus died for, those people are in heaven. And if they were good guys, those are the people that are in heaven. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened over all in Judea, beginning with Christ, who is Lord of all, beginning with Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. That happened at his baptism. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Luke 3:15. The people were filled with expectation. They saw the miracles, and they are filled with expectation. And all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. See, they didn't know. They didn't know. There was nothing written about Jesus. It was all by oral tradition. John answered them by saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Oh God, we ask Jesus to baptize people, starting with me, with the Holy Spirit and fire. We need the fire of God. We need that God who is light would enlighten us through the fire of God. Oh yes, I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to receive the fire of the baptism of fire. After all the people had been baptized and Jesus also had been baptized, he was praying. Luke is the only one telling us that Jesus was praying at his baptism. And the Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." I tell you, Jesus experienced in the baptism the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. How we need to know that at our baptism, even as babies, we were accepted into the family of God. That even as babies, that's true. But now, baptism is not alone. It needs to be faith. Baptism is a life. It is called the life of faith, the life of grace. Baptism is so similar to marriage. At marriage ceremonies, marriage begins at the ceremony, but it doesn't end until death do us part. I tell you, baptism doesn't end even through death. It goes on into eternal life. But not only baptism, but faith in baptism. Faith in whom? Faith in Jesus Christ, who is Lord. I want to talk to you about your baptism, and I want to tell you a story. This happened many years ago in Italy. They were coming to New York, and the father of the family, they were on a ship, had brought a whole lot of cheese and a whole lot of bread so that his family would eat over the ocean, because that's what he did. He says, "We are needing to eat," so he brought cheese and bread. Well, they ate cheese and bread for days and days and days. And you know what happened? The little boy, Luigi, got sick of the cheese and bread. He said, "Father, give me a nickel so I can buy a Coca-Cola." And you know what Cokes, when I was a child, were a nickel. And so the father gave him a nickel. And he never came back until hours. And his face was filled with food. And the father was going to smash him because we don't beg. And the kid said, "I ate lasagna, I ate ravioli, I ate roast beef, I ate steak, I ate all these things." And the father was going to smash him because we don't beg. And the kid said, "Father, don't hit me. All that food came with the ticket that you purchased." Little did anyone know that the ticket said that you could eat all that you wanted. I tell you, all came with baptism and faith, but we do not have that experience. Most of us are eating bread and cheese, and it's not time to eat bread and cheese. It's time for us to say, "Lord, I want all that you've given me in baptism. I want all that you've given me by my faith in Jesus Christ. I want all that you've given me so that I could be a light to the nations." Yes, for Jesus is a light to the nations, and in Christ, we also can be lights. "You are the light of the world," Jesus said. "A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden." That light cannot be hidden. You need Jesus Christ. I need Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, at baptism, it all happened, but we're living out our baptismal faith. Have you trusted Jesus for your salvation? Have you trusted Jesus for your new life? Have you trusted Jesus that he is the forgiveness of our sins? In baptism, we died with Christ. He washed away our sins. I'm going to tell you, people tell me that baptism is only an identification with Jesus because he was baptized. No. I remember being called to an infant who was sick with a terrible disease. And I remember going after the prayer meeting when I was a young priest. And I remember taking the styrofoam cup, filling it with water, and I baptized that baby. And that baby was healed the night of the baptism. The next day, They said, "My Lord, that doesn't have that terrible disease." And last night, someone who came to me said, "I had the same terrible disease, and the doctor sent me home with it, and you prayed over me, and I was healed. I was healed." I tell you, it happened at baptism, and we are living out our baptismal life. Are you living out the life of faith? That's what the issue is. Are you living out the life of faith? Luke 19, verse 27, "But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence." I tell you, I want you to reign in my life, Jesus. I want you to be king of my life, Jesus. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden on. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Do you know that the Lord has need of you? Do you know that the Lord wants to make you a disciple? Do you know that the Lord has need of me so that I would preach the gospel? He chooses to need us. He chooses to need us. And you know what? We want to be able to do what he called us to do. We want to be able to do what he called us to do. So those who were sent departed and found it just as Jesus told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord has need of it." And then they brought it to Jesus. Are you bringing yourself to Jesus today? Not Mohammed, to Jesus. Mohammed is dead. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he now approached the path down from the Mount of Olives, the only way to get from the Mount of Olives is to go down, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God, saying, "God, joyfully with a loud voice, for all the deeds of power that has been said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." That's Jesus. This is what the people are singing. "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop praising you." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would shout out." I tell you, during the time of Jesus, there were more stones than people. I tell you, so he said, if the people did not praise him, the very stones would get up and praise the Lord. I tell you, I don't want stones doing my job. Do you want stones doing your job? Your job is to praise the Lord. Your job is to follow the Lord. Your job is to give your life to the Lord. He came near Jerusalem and saw the city, and he wept over it. Oh, those tears of Jesus. I pray that those tears would be functional in the people's lives who hear my voice today, saying, if you had to recognize on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, and you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another stone. I tell you, that's what happened when the Romans invaded Jerusalem in the year 70. Not one stone upon another stone in the temple. Why? They failed to realize their visitation in Christ. Do you realize your visitation in Christ? That God has made him both Lord and Messiah? Do you realize the visitation in Christ, that he is God and man? Do you realize the invitation in Christ, that he called you to become a new person in Christ. You know, there's the man selling the pillows, and some people say, my life was changed by buying a pillow. I doubt it. Your life will only be changed as Jesus Christ comes into your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by a pillow, but by a power of the Holy Spirit. Because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God, that was Jesus being revealed to them in Jerusalem, and they wanted him dead. Why? Because people were calling him a king. And if Caesar found out that there was another king in Israel, he would come and destroy the temple. Well, I tell you, they wanted the temple up, and because they did not believe in Jesus, the temple was destroyed in the year 70. Then he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things there. And he said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Every day he was teaching in the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him. I tell you, they're not going to be able to kill him until the hour comes when Jesus is ready to say yes to the Father, that his death is our salvation. But they did not find anything that they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard. They were spellbound by what they heard from the mouth of Jesus, but not only what he did and spoke, but the healings and the deliverances. Chapter 20. One day, as he was teaching the people in the temple and telling the good news, the chief priests and the scribes came with the elders and said to him, tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? What authority are you teaching and are you healing people? Who is it who gave you this authority? They don't want to know. Because if he says God, they're going to say, you're not a God, you're just a man, and we're going to kill you. He answered them, I will also ask you a question, and you tell me, did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? If you answer this question right, I will tell you what authority I have and where it came from. They discussed it with one another, saying, if we say from heaven, Jesus will say, why did you not believe John? But if we say of human origin, all the people will stone us, for they are convinced that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where it came from. Then Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. But we know what authority was doing these things, by the authority of the Father. In the baptism, we hear the Father's voice. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. We see the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus. And we see that Jesus is the Son of God. There's the Trinity in the baptism of Jesus, that there is three persons in one God. Three persons in the one God. There's only one God in three divine persons. He began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and leased it out to tenants and went to another country for a long time. Now, what is the man going to be looking for? If it's a vineyard, he's going to be looking for grapes. He sent slaves to the tenants in order that they might give him his share of the produce of the vineyard. He wanted grapes. But the tenants beat him, sent him away empty-handed. Next he sent another slave, and one also they beat and insulted and sent away empty-handed. And he sent still a third. These are the prophets. And this one they also wounded and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son, that's Jesus. Perhaps they will respect him. But when the tenants saw the beloved son, they discussed it among themselves and said, this is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance will be ours. So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. That's right, Jesus died outside the walls of Jerusalem. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Who are going to receive the vineyard? Because the Jews said no. The Gentiles. When they heard this, they said, "Heaven forbid that the Gentiles receive the vineyard." But he looked at them and said, "What then does the text mean? The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on the stone will be broken in pieces and will be crushed, and anyone who falls on it will be crushed." When the scribes and chief priests realized that he had told them this parable against them, they wanted to lay hands on him at that very hour, but they feared the people. Why? Because the people are saying, "This is the prophet from Nazareth." So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be honest in order to trap him by what he said, so as to hand him over to the jurisdiction and authority of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are right in what you say, and you teach and you show deference to no one, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" See, they want to trap Jesus. But Jesus perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a coin, a denarius. Whose head and whose title does this bear?" They said, "The emperor." He said to them, "Then give to the emperor the things that belong to the emperor, and give to God the things that belong to God." What belongs to God? Everything. Nothing that I have hasn't been given to me as a gift. Why do we boast about what we have? It's all been given as a gift. We've got to use what God has given us. And they were not able, in the presence of the people, to trap him by what he said. And being amazed at his answer, they became silent. Let me tell you, they became silent. Why? Because they had no answer. When I baptized that baby with holy water, that baby had meningitis. I forgot what it was. And the next day, the meningitis was gone. And a man came at the 5:30 mass and said, "I had meningitis and the doctor sent me home with it. And after you prayed with me, the meningitis left." This is God doing these things. This is God doing these things. I'm not doing them. I don't know how to heal people of meningitis. Oh, but the prayer of faith heals people of meningitis. The prayer of faith heals people of cancer. My friend Betty has fourth degree cancer, and she keeps on living. And the doctors say, "You are a miracle. You should not be living. The cancer stopped growing." Thanks be to God that Betty is healed. Even though she has fourth degree cancer, it doesn't grow by the grace of the living God. And Jesus has done this. The doctors say she is a miracle because she should be dead. But I tell you, God doesn't want Betty dead. He wants Betty alive, proclaiming the good news to people that Jesus Christ the Lord is Lord, that he is the healer and he is the deliverer. Do you know that today? That the Lord is your healer. The Lord is your deliverer. Do you know that today? The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I'm asking you and telling you, at baptism, you were given everything, and we live our baptismal life out by faith. Are you eating bread and cheese today? Because you have no idea of what God has for you, a banquet in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you eating bread and cheese today when you could be at the banquet table of the Lord, receiving the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood, the soul and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ? You have been baptized, but do you have your faith in Jesus? Are you just eating bread and cheese? And there's a wonderful banquet set before us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And may God bless you today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.